Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Lamed Hey. We will begin on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis at the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah that if an animal puts on fire grain on Shabbos, the halacha is that you'll be chayiv, they'll be responsible for the damage that's done. But if a person were to do so, as we learned in our shir in the previous shir, the halacha of Kimlei but the rabbi and they would kick in, and therefore the halacha would be that that the person will not be chayiv for the damages because he's chayiv misa for the chil Shabbos. So the Gemara begins to discuss under what circumstances would it be a case of chil Shabbos which carries with it a chayiv misa. Says the Gemara, Tanar Avuka made Rav Yochanan, Kol Hamakalkin, whoever did malacha on Shabbos in a fashion that's destructive, the halacha is paturim. They're not chayiv for chil Shabbos. Because, as Rashi explains, the halacha of Shabbos, what makes a malacha be a malacha on Shabbos, is if it's a malachas machshavas. And the definition of malachas machshavas is when it was done in a constructive purpose, not in a destructive purpose. Chutz michayvel mavir. That if somebody did damage, wounded, or somebody put on a fire, even when it's in a makalka fashion, when it's not for constructive purpose, the halach is yechayiv. That's how they began learning. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Avuha, who quoted this halacha, he said to him, "Puk tani levra, go outside the Beis Medrash. What you're saying is incorrect. Chayvul amaver, what you're saying that chayvul amaver, you're not chayiv. You're chayiv, even if it doesn't have a constructive purpose, ain't a Mishnah. It's incorrect. Vimtim tzolayma Mishnah. And if you'll tell me that there are Tanoim that taught such halacha, chayvul, when are you chayiv for chayvul? B'tzorach l'kalboi. When in a situation where you kill an animal and you need the blood for the animal, for your dog to drink that blood. So even though the malacha was done in the destructive fashion, but its goal was a constructive goal. And since it's a constructive goal, that's enough maybe to make it chayiv Shabbos. And chayivul, a mavir, similarly, when will you be chayiv for mavir? B'tzarech l'afroi, when you need the ash. So the Mefarshim asks, the Rashba asks, why don't we say that the case of mavir is that you're making a fire to cook or to bake? So the Rashba answers that since the Gemara, which we're going to begin learning now, equates the situation of an animal and a person, and by an animal there is no kavana that you could say he put on the fire to cook or bake. So that's why we're saying a case which would make sense even by an animal, which, as we're going to learn, the animal may want the ash. Ask the Gemara. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Shayr Shed Likas Gadish B'Shabbos, if somebody's animal put on a fire and burned somebody's grain on Shabbos, Chayiv, you're Chayiv for the damages. V'hu Shed Likas Gadish B'Shabbos, but if you put on, if a human being puts on fire somebody's grain and Shabbos potter. Viktani, says the Gemara, the fact that the Mishnah puts together the halacha of a human being and an animal, who dumi the shayrei? So the two cases must be similar. Mas shayrei, just like when an animal puts on a fire, it didn't have any constructive purpose. Mas shayrei de lo kabayle, you can't suggest that the animal needed something because the animal doesn't have any Das, doesn't have any intelligence. Afhu the like kabayle. It must be a case that the person who lit something, put on a fire, didn't need it. And yet we learned that why is the person not going to have to pay for the damages he made? Because he's chayiv for chil Shabbos. But according to the way we're learning now, if you put on a fire without a constructive purpose, you're not going to be chayiv. So the Gemara loy, shayr kabayi the day, shumer dum the day. The way to understand the Mishnah suggests the Gemara is that we compare actually the situation of the animal to the situation of the person. Mahu, the only time the person is chayiv for making a fire on Shabbos is the kabole, when he needs the fire. Af shayrei, the animal also is going to be speaking about a case, kabole, where the animal has a constructive purpose in this fire. Ask the Gemara, Shara Hech Mishkachslo, what does that mean, that the animal has a constructive purpose with the fire? Amar Av Avya, Hachem Ma'eskin B'Shoa Pekeach, we're speaking about an intelligent animal, Shosloi Neshicha B'Gaba, it has some sort of a wound on its back, the Kabai L'Miklei V'Angda B'Kutma, the way it gets healed is by having ash applied to it. And therefore this animal made a fire to get ash. Ask the Gemara Noyadinan, and from where will we know that that was the animal's intention? Says the Gemara, because we see the Labasar Lekaye, after the animal made this fire, Kamigdabakutan, we see it rolling in itself in the ash. And therefore, we could see that that was its intention. It was not there just to make damage. It was here that it was here to make ash to cover sun. So according to this, in a case where a person will make a fire, it's also where we know that he needed the ash. That's when he'll be chayiv misa. What will be in a case if we don't know what his intention was? So since we can't clearly identify that he had a constructive intention, we can't call him a Mechal Shabbos, and the halacha would be that he would have to pay, because we wouldn't say Kimlei B'Drabanei, because we only will say Kimlei B'Drabanei at this point in the Gemara if we know for sure that he's Chayiv Misa for the Chal Shabbos. But if we can't tell, then we certainly won't give him Misa, and we'll make him pay. However, there are other Achrayinim, the Prima Gadim, and Rabbi Chanan, and Rabbi Kiv Eger, all discussed this question. And they're not quite certain, because they want to suggest that the obligation to pay damages is very similar to a concept that we often discuss, the concept of Hamoitzi Mechavera Olav Araya, and therefore the Nizik who will want to come collect damages has to be able to prove that this is not a circumstance where I say Kimlei B'Drabanei. And since we can't say Kimlei B'Drabanei, we can't say for sure if he's Mechal Shabbos or not, we maybe can't demand that he pay for the damages. Ask the Gemara, but we just identified a very smart animal that knows that if it has this wound, it should make ash to apply. Ask the Gemara, Mi'ike Kai Gavna, is there such an intelligent animal? Answers the Gemara, in, absolutely. Because says the Gemara, the Hutar Davi Be'er Papa, there was an axe that was in the home of Rapapa, Davi Kimele Chinche, that had pain in its gums. Ayla Pascal and Ziyase, he went to a place where there was beer, and he was able to push off the lid from the top of that beer, the Shasi Shikra, in order to drink the beer, which is apparently a refuah for somebody who has gum, for animal that has gum problems. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbanan Kamed Rapapa. So Rabbanan, when trying to understand the Mishnah, as we just discussed, Mi Atzus Ma'amrit Shari Dumi Dedei, can we say that when the Mishnah speaks about an animal making a fire, it's similar to the way a human being makes a fire? Faktani Shari Shabayish Potter, we learned in our Mishnah that if a shor embarrasses somebody, he's potter. Vahu Shabayish Chayiv, but if a human being embarrasses somebody, then he's going to be chayiv to pay boishes. And if we're saying Shoyrim Dumi Dedei, that whatever is the case by the person, so too is the case by the animal, ask the Gemara, the Skabla Bayi Sheikh Mishkachsla, how can we ever identify a case that an animal had intent to embarrass? Says the Gemara, it means Kigonshin Skavin Lahazik. The only thing an animal could have intention is to do damage. Vomaman Skavin Lahazik, Abishlein Skavin Labayish. So, yes, we have two similar cases. An animal, indeed, never has intention to embarrass. And a human being doesn't necessarily also always have intention to embarrass. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is, both of them did something that embarrassed the victim, but an animal is not chai for boishes, and a human being, even if it wasn't his intention to embarrass, will be chai for boishes. So now we are able to understand how the case of the human and the case of the animal is similar by boishes. Rav Amar, the Gemara goes back to the original question, which we began our shiur with. What is the halacha of mavir b'shabbos with no constructive purpose? So we said that if the case of mavir is that he had intention, and that's why the person is not chayiv to pay, because of kimle b'drabimnei, so how would we have a similar case by an animal? Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is speaking about nesnisim b'shoyi. There actually is no chayiv misa. But the Gemara introduces the famous lesson of Chizkia. The Tanna Bei Chizkia. The Pasuk says, Maka Behema Yishamena Maka Odom Yumas. So the compiler connects Maka Odom Maka Behema, the two situations where somebody killed an animal, killed a human being. Ma Maka Behema Lachalakta Ben Shagi Ben Mezer Ben Miskavin Shein Miskavin. If somebody damages somebody else's animal, it doesn't make a difference how and why the damage was done. Ben Derech Yeridel Derech Liyo, or how the situation happened, lepoitri mamon, el chayv mamon, and all these cases, you'll be chayv for the damage you did. Af maka odin letachba meshogig meshogig bein miskavin leinam miskavin. It doesn't make a difference how the murder took place. Bein derech rida derech lila lechayv mamon lepoitri mamon. So even though we're not going to actually kill this person, because a person killed somebody else meshogig or ba'oinus, he's certainly not chayiv mamon, but the Beit Chizkiya is telling us that we still apply the concept of kimalei d'rabbanei. Because says Chizkiya, whenever you do it in Aveira, even if you did the Aveira b'shoigig, but if it's the type of an Aveira for which there can be a chayiv misa, then even though in this particular situation, this particular case, there was no chayiv misa, then the halacha is we're going to apply kimalei d'rabbanei. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbanan L'Rava. That's a wonderful way of explaining the Mishnah. But ask the Gemara, Mimukmas Lo B'Shogig. How can we explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a case that was done B'Shogig? But let's look at the words of the Mishnah. V'Amenei Shenidim B'Nafshik Tani. The Mishnah says that he's going to get killed. Not Daz B'Shogig. Answers the Gemara, Hachikamer. The way to understand the Mishnah, Kivin the Mezid, if he had done this Aver B'Mezid, Nidin B'Nafshay, then he is Chai Misa, what would be the case? V'hei Chidami, if he did it with Kavona, would it construct the purpose? The Kaboy L'Afra, that he wants the ash. So even though in the case of our Mishnah, because we're connecting the case of a person and the case of an animal, so just like the animal certainly didn't do it with a construct the purpose, we're going to have to say that the person of our Mishnah that also not do it with a constructive purpose. But since if he would do it with a constructive purpose, he would be Chayiv Misa. So therefore the Torah teaches us that for any Aveira which there's a potential Chayiv Misa, we put in the halacha of Kimlei Midrabanei. There's a Gemara in Masechta Ksubos that discusses what happens if somebody did an Aveira B'Mezid, a very for which B'mezid is a chiv karis, not a chiv misas bezdin. Will we say kamalei b'rabanei? And Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana says that even though bezdin will never kill somebody, bezdin won't give the misa in such a case because it's a chiv karis, we still apply the concept of kamalei b'rabanei. So the Parashas Drachim says that the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tuvasot, Kol Oichlav Yeshema, Ro Tov Aleim Num Hashem. Says the Gemara, says the Parashas Drachim, the Kodesh and Reishis Tvu Asa are referring to Hegdish and Truma. So the question is that if the Pasuk is coming to teach us that that's what the Pasuk over there is discussing, that Kodesh Baruch Hu will punish all of the people who caused Tsar to Klal Yisrael, why are they compared to Hegdish and Truma. So the Navi is trying to teach us, says the Parashas Drachim, that not only will they be chayiv b'day Shemayim Misa, but they're also going to pay Keren v'chaymish. And what the Pasuk is saying is that just like b'truma and Hegdish, the halacha is that you meis u'mishalim, because we don't pass like Rav Nechunya ben Akana, and by Misa b'day Shemayim, there is no kimle b'drabmanei, the goyim will pay financially and physically for all that they've done to Klal Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, Shor Shayroid v'achashor achar. One animal is running after another animal, the hizik, and it did that, huzak, and the animal that was being chased got hurt. Za'oimer, this person says, Shorcha hizik, it was your animal that did damage to my animal. Za'oimer loy ela kibesela loka, your animal tripped, and that's why it got hurt. The halacha is, you can't force the person that you're accusing to, you can't force the person that you're accusing to pay, because we have the rule of Amotzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, and if you can't definitively prove that I owe you money, I don't have to pay. So the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah is that the animal was chasing another animal, and then the animal tripped. So now the person, the victim, saying that the mission is the debating. What caused this animal to be hurt? Is it the fact that it was chased or the fact that it tripped? The Muka Yaisu says, what happened here is that one animal was chasing another animal, and while the animal was running away, it tripped. So the victim is saying, even if the animal tripped, it tripped because of your animal. And still the Mishnah is saying that since he can't definitively prove that it was that animal that caused the damage, he doesn't have to pay. Says the Mishnah further, Hayishnaim Raitim Achashar, Achar Achad, two animals that belong to two different people running after an animal. Ze Oimer Shor Chahizik, one person says that it was your animal that caused the damage. Ze Oimer Shor Chahizik, and the other one says it was your animal. Shnei Peturim. And both are potter, because again, we can't definitively know who was the one that caused the damage. However, if both animals belong to one person, so it was this person's animal that caused damage, and therefore, shneim chayavim, the person will have to pay, because certainly, shneim chayavim. The halacha we know is that when the damage was done in a fashion that's mishuna, unusual, we say, and the animal is still a tam, so then you pay chatzi nezek. If the animal was a muad, then you pay nezek sholim. Moreover, we've learned previously that a tam only pays damages migufoy. There's a cap on that payment to the value of the animal. A muad pays manaliyah. Even if the damage exceeds the value of the animal that did the damage, you have to pay the whole damage. So says the Mishnah, if the two animals that did damage, one was a bigger animal, one was a small animal. And Nizik or Megadol Hizik. The Nizik says that both animals are a tam. But the Nizik says it was the larger animal that did the damage. So therefore, when we come to assess Migufai, we have a lot more to assess from because it's a bigger, more valuable animal. It was the smaller animal. Or, the mazik has two animals, and one is a tam and one is a muad. The nizik says it was the muad that caused the damage. It was a tam that caused the damage. Again, we apply here the concept of a ma'is mechaveil of a raya, and unless the nizik can definitively prove what he's claiming, he doesn't have to pay. Hayud nizakim shnayim. If we had two animals that did damage, one was a gadol and one was a katan. Echad gadol v'echad katan. And the nizakim, the animals, the victims, were echad gadol v'echad katan. And the mazikim were also shnayim, echad gadol v'echad katan. Hanazik oimer, the owner of the victim says, gadol hizik is a gadol. The larger animal did damage to the larger animal, and therefore that's where you should collect the chatzi nezek. and a cotton as a cotton, and that will be to his favor. V'mazik oim eloi ki el a cotton as a godl, godl as a cotton. Or, echet ha vechemud, the mazik has two animals, a tam and a mood. Hanizik oim ha mood hizik as a godl, the mood did damage to the bigger animal, v'ha tam damaged the cotton. V'mazik oim just the opposite. Loi ki elo hatam hizik as a godl, or mood hizik a cotton. In all these cases, again, we apply the concept of hamotzi mechaveiro olavaraya, since they can't definitively tell. The Sefer Mishpatei Torah discusses a shaila where there was a car that was left in the street, and there were a group of boys who passed by the car, and one boy said to the rest that this car must be hefker. They broke into the car and did serious damage to the car. The owner of the car eventually shows up. And now the question is, who has to pay for the damages? Does only the first boy, who is the one that incited them, instigated them by saying that the car must be hefker, and he was the one that got all the other boys to join him, is he going to be held responsible? Or, since actually the damage was done by all of these boys, do they have to all participate in paying? So the halacha is that if everybody participated in a damage, nobody could, what the halacha tells us to look at is who actually did the damage. The halacha does not tell us how to take into consideration the one that incited them. But now the question is, if we can't tell who, we have this group of boys, they all participated in causing damage to the car, but how are we to evaluate what each one of them did individually that he should be chayiv? So the halacha is that we just applied the rule of a mitzvah mechaveir olav araya. And since this victim cannot definitively point to anybody and say that you are the one that did the damage, since he can't definitively point to anyone and say you're the one that did the damage, so the only thing that we can know, so therefore they don't have to pay more than the minimum. But the first one who broke the door open, that we know he was the one that started this whole situation, he has to pay for the value of what it cost to break the door and whatever else that means. There's another interesting question. There was somebody that owned a butcher shop, and he claims that the meat that he sells is only meat with the highest level of kashrus. And then it turns out that he was selling meat not with the highest level of kashrus. And now the question is, people became aware of what happened, and now they come to him and they claim that they want to get paid back the value of all the meat that they bought for him. And many people kashered the kalim because they were uncertain about the status of the meat that they had cooked in those pots and pans. And all of them also clay, and they, some, we know, some pots, pans, dishes, china, cannot be kashered, so they were discarded, and they had to buy new ones. So they wanted this person who owns the store, to pay them back for this loss. The owner of the butcher shop claims, Hamotzi mechaveiroi olav haraya. So yes, you had every right to assume that the meat that you were buying in my store was the highest level of kashrus. But I didn't only sell that meat. So how could, unless you could prove that the actual meat that you bought was the meat that wasn't of that level, standard of kashrus, that you want, I don't have to reimburse you. So the halacha actually is that hamotz mechaveir olav haraya. And unless the customer could, as we just learned in our Mishnah, unless the customer could definitively prove that he got meat that he wasn't supposed to get, he can't make a claim. However, what happens if it's able to be identified that this customer bought the meat that wasn't on the standard of kashrus that he wanted, that he expected? So now, the halacha is, it depends. If the meat that was sold was kosher, but it isn't on the status that he wants to, that this customer wants, so now the halacha will be that he'll only have to reimburse them the difference in price between the meat that has the better heksher versus the meat that has the weaker heksher. And as far as the kalim, there's no reason to have to kasher the kalim, and he doesn't have to reimburse it. However, if it turns out that the meat that he sold them was not kosher, so the halacha differentiates between when somebody ate something that he didn't want to eat but is really kosher versus when somebody ate something that was not kosher. And if he ate something what is not kosher, then the halacha is that then the halacha will be that he has to pay for the whole value of the meat, not just the difference, because this person obviously doesn't want to eat non-kosher meat. The issue about paying for the china is very complicated, because the owner of the store could always maybe perhaps make an argument, well, I didn't know that you use china. I thought that you use plastic plates, disposable plates that could be thrown out. So the question about his obligation to pay for the china that this customer had the non-kosher meat on is not simple, if that's a claim, that he can make such a claim or not. Often when the Gemara speaks about a din Torah where two people have claims to each other, we have a situation, a bari ubari. Both are making claims that are definitive. Then we have a situation of Shema for Shema. Both are not quite certain really what happened. And then we can have a situation of Bari v'Shema, where one is certain what happened and one isn't. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah, which says that under all circumstances where we have a dispute, the operating principle to work with is Hamotzi Mechaveiro, says the Gemara, Amrav Chibar Abba, Zois Ameris, our Mishnah that says that we always follow the principle of Hamotzi Mechaveiro Olav Araya, Chul Ukum of Chaveiro V'Asumchis, this is the dispute of what Simcha says, because Simcha says that when we have a Shaila, the Halacha is Mamana Mutab Safa Chalkin, when we don't know, we divide. Says the Gemara, Amar Abba Mamamal Rav Chibar Abba, Amar Simchas, did Simchas say that whenever there's this dispute, we always say Mamana Mutab Safa Chalkin? Afilu, does he say it even in a case of Bari Ubari, where both come with definitive tainus? Amalei in. Amar Simchas, Simchas stated his position, even in a case of Bari Bari. Ask the Gemara, so now what the Gemara is saying is that our Mishnah is presumably speaking about a case of Bari Ubari. Our Mishnah is saying when you have a Din Torah Bari Ubari, we apply the principle of Amoitzi Mechaveiroi Olav Haraya. And Simchas says in such a situation, Momen Amutal B'Safa Cholkin. So ask the Gemara, Omaidim Stisim Bari Bari, what pushes you to say that our Mishnah is referring to the case of Bari Bari? The Tony, could we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Zahar Mecha Shircha Hezek, one says that your animal did the damage. The Zahar Meloi, El Kibasol Lekach. He says, no, I know that this was, that it was the, he tripped. So it seems that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where both are saying their claim with definitive knowledge. Maskler Rapapa. So ask Rapapa, if that's the way we're explaining the Reisha the Mishnah, mid the Reisha, it would explain that the Reisha the Mishnah refers to a situation of Bari Bari. Let's continue to learning the Mishnah. Sefer Nami. So we'll say that the Sefer will also be referring to a situation where both litigants are coming with claims of Bari Bari. So let's learn the Sefer. Hoya Echa Godel Vecha Cotton. One animal was a large animal, with one person had two animals, a larger animal and a small animal. Nizik oimer gadol hizik. And the nizik said it was the larger animal that did damage. Umazik oimer loy elokei hatatan hizik. It was the smaller animal that did the damage. Or echatav vechemud. Nizik oimer mud hizik. It was the mud that did the damage. But mazik oimer loy ki elatam hizik. It was the tam that did the damage. So we apply the concept of amoitz mechaver el v'raya, says the Gemara. Holoi moitz raya. But if the nizik is not able to support his claim, then shokul kram mazik. We follow the opinion of the mazik. But ask the Gemara, why should the mazik have to pay anything? In other words, why should the mazik have to pay anything? Name it to have to yufta, because isn't this a contradiction to what Rabbi Ben Nosson taught us? Because Rabbi Ben Nosson teaches us that in a case of tana chit and vaydle besoyrim, if I come to you with a claim that you owe me wheat, and I admit to barley, I'm potter, I don't have to pay barley at all. So in our Mishnah, the nizik is saying, and we're learning that it's a bari in our Mishnah, that it was the mood that damaged. And the mazik is saying it was the tam that did the damage. But the nizik is saying that with the nizik, that with a bari we're learning now, that he didn't, it wasn't the tam, it was the mu'ud. So the halach is, if tana chitim for hoidle besoirim, you don't have to pay at all. Why is that the halacha? That why is tana chitim hoidle besoirim potter? Because what will the Rambam explains. So what will happen if the nizik says, okay, you don't want to give chitim, give me the soirim. So let the mazik have to let the person have to give the chitim. So Rambam says, because at that point, the person could always claim, I didn't really mean to give you anything. I just wanted to use this as a way to get you off my back. Rashi and Tosfos have a different approach. If the person is claiming, you owe me chitin, and he doesn't make a claim on the soirim, even if I afterwards admit on the soirim, but the fact that you didn't make a claim on the soirim, it means that you didn't, that you're meichel, that you're forgiving any claim on soirim, even if I owed you soirim. The Rosh explains a simpler pshat. He says that if somebody has a claim against me, and he comes to Besdin or he comes anywhere to make a claim, so he's going to make all the claims that he has against me. Maybe a certain claim might not be serious enough and significant enough to come to Besdin for. But once you're coming to Beis Din, says the Rosh, you're going to express all the claims that you have. So if I owe you chitin and soirim, and you come to Beis Din and you only mention chitin, why didn't you mention the soirim? So since you didn't admit, since you didn't speak about the soirim, it's a proof that I don't owe you soirim. So if that's the case, that's only, says the Rosh, if the chitim and soirim were part of one transaction. But if the chitim and soirim were not part of one transaction, so then the halacha would be that the fact that you didn't mention the soirim doesn't mean that you're being moided that I don't owe you soirim. It wasn't the transaction that we were talking about. Interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Siman Peches Sif Yud Beis follows the opinion of the Rosh. And therefore, if you follow the opinion of the Rosh, as we just said, the halacha will change if it was part of one claim, or if it was part of one claim, or if it was part of two claims. The Shach quotes the opinion of many Achroinim who say that the reason you're part is because of the reason of Rashi and Tosfos, that you are obviously meichel whatever I owe you. And if that's the case, it doesn't make a difference. If it was one claim, one transaction, or two transactions, it doesn't make a difference. So now back to our Gemara. Our Gemara, we're learning, is talking about a case of Bari Ubari. And the Nizik said it was the Mu'ud, and the Mazik says it was a Tam. And we said that we follow what the Mazik said, because HaMoitz Mechaveroi Olav Araya. But now the question is, why do we follow what the Mazik says? It's Tara Bechitim, the Hoidle Besairim, which we just finished explaining, is Potter. Ella, how are we going to say, how must we explain the Mishnah, says the Gemara? The Mishnah is referring to situations of Bari Veshema. So ask the Gemara, the Kama Bari man, who's the one that's coming with the Bari claim, the Mazik with the Nizik? The Kama Shema man, who's the one that's coming with the Shema claim, the Mazik and Nizik? So the Gemara evaluates. If we're going to suggest the Kama Nizik Bari, it's a Nizik that says, Barili, I'm convinced, I know for a fact, that it was the Shor Hamu'ah that did the damage. And the Mazik says, maybe it was the Tam. Says the Gemara, Akatilei Metavati of the Rabbi Ben Nosson. So now we even have a stronger question. When the Mazik says Shema, the Halach is that that's where the Nizik takes. Certainly when the Mazik says Bori, that's where the Nizik could claim from. But why? Wouldn't that be a case of Tan B'chitim Ayolei B'sayrim? Ella, how are we going to explain the Mishnah? The common Nizik Shama, the common Mazik Bari. The Nizik says, I don't know for sure it was the mood or the time that did the damage. And the Mazik says, I know for sure that it was the time. Or mid the safe Nizik Shem Mazik Bari. So if that's the way we're going to explain the second part of the Mishnah, Rei Shanami, we're also going to have to explain Nizik Shema Mazik Bari. What's going to be the case that in that case, we're also the Nizik says, maybe it was your animal that did the damage. And the Mazik says, I know for sure it wasn't my animal that did the damage. It was that your animal tripped on the stone. Says the Gemara of Omer Sumchas Vabihir, Omer Sumchas Afil Bahad Itzak Lashmin Delay. In that case, where the Nizik isn't certain, we will divide to teach us that we don't follow Sumchas opinion. How could Sumchas suggest that if the Nizik can't make a claim with definitiveness, and the Mazik is, then how can we say that? Says the Gemara, Sefer, the Sefer is talking about where the Nizik is a Shema Mazik Bari. And the ratio, we're going to have to say that the Nizik is the Bari and the Mazik is the Shemin. But ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, that in the Sefer, if we're saying in the Sefer, it's the Nizik who's the Shema, and in the ratio, it's the Nizik that's the Shema, the Nizik is the Bari, so ask the Gemara, for like Daniel Rachel Sefer. So the Mishnah is being inconsistent. Amri, so they said, Bari v'shema, Shema Bari chad milsahi. Shema Bari u'bari, Shema Bari trei milim anu. But the Gemara's answering is as follows. If the Mishnah were to say, that if the Gemara were to say, that one part of the Mishnah is talking about Bari v'shema, and one part of the Mishnah is talking about Shemu Bari. So the Gemara is saying that's a situation that we can't accept. Could that represent a significant inconsistency in the Mishnah? And Mishnahis, of course, have to be consistent. But if we're going to say that the entire Mishnah is speaking about Bari v'shema, the only issue that's to be concerned is who is saying the Bari and who's saying the Shema. And that switches from the ration to Sefer, that is not considered a significant inconsistency in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, we go back to this halacha that we discussed. Gufa Amar Rabbi Ben Nosson, Tana Chit V'Hoyd Alei B'Sarim Potter. Says the Gemara, my Kamashma, what's Rabbi Ben Nosson teaching us that isn't taught in a Braisa? Tana Chit V'Hoyd Alei B'Sarim Potter. So what did Rabbi Ben Nosson have to teach us? As we often say in our Shurim, it was expected that all Amaroyim should be familiar with the Brises. Answers the Gemara, Imihasim have a mina potam at me chitim. You don't have to pay for the chitim, but you have to pay for the mei soirim. Kamashmon, as we explained, that tayin bechitim hoyd boy besoirim means potam legamri. Tanan says the Mishnah teaches us haya shvarim haya nizakim shnayim. If there were two animals that did damage, echad gadol vechad katan. So there were two animals that were damaged, and the two animals that got hurt, and two animals that caused it. The Nizik says the Gadol did the Gadol, and the Katan did the Katan, and the Mazik says just the opposite. Says the Gemara, we apply here, we learned in the Mishnah, the principle of Hamaitzi Mechaver al Haraya, and otherwise, Haloi Maisaraya, if the Nizik cannot prove his point, his claim, Shokel could am a Mazik. says the Gemara, you take what the Mazik says. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, if the Mnizik is saying it was the Gadol that did damage to the Gadol, and the Mazik saying it was the Katan, so why is this not a case of Tana Bechitav, Eidl B'Sayrim? Answers the Gemara, Roy Lito, the question would be, the issue is that he's entitled, Veloy, but can't get anything, but says the Gemara, Tanya, raise a Mishtal, Mal Katam, and a Gadol. But that's not what the Brisa says. The Brisa says that at least you'll pay what you're admitting to. But why? If we're saying Tana Bechitim V'Hoidle B'Soyrim is pottering entirely, answers the Gemara, it's talking about a case, the Tofas, where the Nizik sees this. Normally, he would not be entitled to anything. But if he's seized based on the admission of the Mazik, the Halacha is a Metzim B'Yodah, we let him hold on to what he grabbed. Tanan, says the Mishnah, so we learned in our Mishnah, if the animals that did damage, Hayecha Tam Vecha Mu'ud, Hanu Nizekam Mu'ud Hizek Is Gadol, V'Tam As HaKotten, V'Mazekam Eloi Ki El Tam As HaGadol, U'Mu'ud As HaKotten, so we apply the concept of Amotz Mechel V'Raya, Halay Ma'is Raya, if the Nizek cannot prove his position, Shokel could become a Mazek. But ask the Gemara again, why is this not considered a situation of chitin v'sayrim ninhu? Answers the Gemara, Roy Litoil, but if he would have been able to prove his position, he would cake. But now that he can't, Ein lo, he doesn't get anything because Tana b'chitin v'adle b'sayrim. But ask the Gemara, but that's not what the Brisa says. Didn't the Brisa say, V'tanya reizeh mishtal m'lakotin min ha'muid u'l'gadol min ha'tam, like the Mazik says? But why should the Mazik have to pay anything if it's a case of Tana b'chitin v'hoidu l'b'sayrim? Answers the Gemara, the same answer as we just gave, the Tofes. When a Nizik seized assets of the Mazik, and he seized, and the Mazik is admitting that he owes it, so in a case where the Mazik is Maida, even though it's a case of Tana b'chitin v'hoidu l'b'sayrim, the halacha lets the Nizik hold on to what he claimed.